If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
All right. Welcome to Daily Shoah. This is episode 1177. I'm sure there's an audio component named after that. Here I am. I'm with Alex, and we have as the disembodied floating voice in the background of this episode, it will be DK. Welcome, guys.
Yes.
How y'all doing? Sven still is sick. So he will not be joining us today. I don't know. He's got some problem with his eye that he has been, I don't know. And also, I'm a complete retard because we already did 25 minutes of show and I didn't have my second input sent to record because it was still muted from my stream last night. So we are going to verbatim repeat with all the same genuine emotional reactions that we had everything that we said in those 25 minutes. And so just understand.
In fairness, it was kind of a show starts at 25 minutes type of situation.
Yeah.
In fairness.
We shot posts for a while about that, like, that veiny alien-looking vascular fucking bodybuilder that died, and retards were saying it was a vax when it was probably just his own lifestyle.
I was particularly proud of saying he looked like he had an alien symbiote.
Well, here we are. Let's just bring it up. I mean, we're going to redo this bit at least. So here's this dude. I just noticed on Twitter, this guy, Marco Cesar Aguiar Lewis. I guess he's some kind of Latinx, but like it doesn't really matter. I mean, this dude is like, that is very weird and alien looking to me, and I find this to be disturbing and ugly. And then there's this other picture of him here that's like, this nigga looked like Gollum on fucking steroids. But like it's also just like when this guy dies, like, I'm not surprised, and the thing that frustrates me, or
what do you mean? He's the picture of health.
Sure.
Well, that's my thing. It's like we talked about this, you know, the idea that these conservative, the vaxxed people, because that's not even like, I know it's a meme to do vaxxed, but people really do it. I can't tell though anymore if people are memeing or if they're really doing it. And I think there's a good amount of people that really do it because there's like the certain type of account online. It's like they totally humorless conservative that like cannot grasp online meme language or irony or anything like that, and it's like, were they vaxxed? The vaccine, oh, this is what you get, and like they don't, and they've been doing that, and people like just make fun of them now and laugh at them, and they don't get that, like, dude, like, and you look at the other posts they make and they try and like lecture you about taxes or something. I don't know, it's like the humorless, like out of touch, like boomer conservative account. But the funniest thing to me was these people talking like it was somebody like this is not a candidate for sudden death in normal circumstances. You know what I mean?
I literally read a case study where the conclusion was, we should probably change our index of suspicion based on how muscular you look.
Like, in terms of what, steroid use?
In terms of us thinking that you might potentially be suffering from some kind of cardiac event.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was the conclusion.
Well, I'm assuming if one of these fucking bodybuilder types rolls into the hospital, they know another one. But he's probably already dead by that point. These guys just fucking crash and just like they code just right away.
Well, that's the thing, though. There's not that many bodybuilders in the general population.
Right,
now,
that's true.
They disproportionately do fall over from heart attacks, but there's not that many of them, so you don't see them very often, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the case study was a 25-year-old. It's actually kind of interesting. If you just type in, like, case study, bodybuilder, heart attack, you're going to get page and page and page, more pages of stuff. Going all the way back to the 1990s, I saw a case study where it was a 20-year-old. The fucking 20-year-old killed over.
Was that guy steroid, more plates, more dates? Is that guy still going on YouTube, like, lecturing about
this? Going.
Yeah.
He's still going.
No.
He has not died.
Did he use steroids? He seems to be against it.
Dates like with women?
Like, I assume that's what he means. It never really made sense to me because I was like, I don't know. I don't know a lot. I mean, I guess these guys probably get women, but I don't know that like they've like far surpassed any threshold of fitness that would be required to attract a female, like, and probably gone over the other end of that edge, right? Like, if you're trying to make yourself more attractive to get like a GF, like, these guys go, like, you don't need to do any of this.
Yeah,
well, you just look like a weird alien, nigga. Like, just like, I'm not against dudes. I'm not even against the motivation of going to the gym to be more attractive to a woman. I think that's a perfectly natural and fine motivation to get fit. In fact, people are lying to themselves if they say that they have a different one. In fact, I would be suspicious if you didn't have that as your motivation. I would be like, so you're gay. I'm doing this for myself. Okay, so you're gay. You're doing this for yourself so you can get a GF, right?
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. It's just funny, the vaxxed people. It's like, nah, like, learn more. It's like, I'm not even if like the vaccine was like killing people, I would still be like, this guy is probably more likely bodybuilding stuff than the vax. But yeah. But yes, if you're slamming
that's my roids. Argument actually. My argument is the COVID vaccine is safer than steroids. That's just objectively true.
It's probably also safer than like cocaine and heroin or Fent. Like, definitely safer than Fent.
Definitely safer than Fent. Yeah,
by far. You know.
And I'm not even saying that that doing a cycle of steroids is going to make you fucking have a heart attack. I'm just saying that if we were to evaluate both of these interventions side by side, you'd have way more problems with the steroids.
Probably, yeah.
Way more problems.
And there's a big, huge sample size for this.
Anyway,
it's whatever. Like, you know, it's funny though how the vax shit did die. You know, when we were sort of on the bleeding edge of telling people, like, yo, this shit doesn't really matter, and people were very angry. It's like, well, that shit is all dead now, and it doesn't matter. And like, all that had to happen was for it to not be the thing anymore. And there you go, no one cares. And you get like, you ever get like the scuffed, like the bitter, like the punished vax person who's like angry that more people aren't still angry about it. You ever see this?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm never gonna forgive for the vax, and it's like, yeah, people are just like rolling their eyes, like, no one cares anymore. And then he's even more angry. He's like, you just let them get away with it.
I do think there's, I mean, not about the vax specifically, but the lack of punishment for the people who caused everyone to lose, you know, not everyone, caused a lot of people to lose jobs, caused, you know, the lack of accountability, right? That does actually irk me. Like people are trying to, but as far as, you know, the actual specifics of
conservative politicians were right in the mix with that.
Absolutely.
Like, in fact, they were largely to blame. Like,
they were pushing
whose thing was like, stop lockdowns, so we don't have to like give people their stipend or like, do, you know, it's just like, fuck you.
Yeah. What was it? The Texas governor going on Tucker Carlson be like, we can't be giving people money. They need to go work.
Right. And then like you had then some states that were like trying to block it in their state. Like block the federal payouts to people in their state. Like, you had like state governors doing that.
Yeah, they wanted to throw people off Medicaid. Yeah, like,
but no, they also wanted them to you not to get your COVID payout. Like your COVID unemployment check. Like they were like, we don't want people in our state getting that. Like, some red state governors did that. It's like, fuck you, dude. They didn't win.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, like, yes, of course, that was just unconscionable and just typical Republican, like, any reflexive opposition to anything that has a chance of helping white people. I mean, for example, like the lab that was really telling about the Uri Berliner, the NPR Jew, who went on about, like, it was noteworthy that he in his little letter, he highlighted three things that NPR was getting wrong: the vax, Hunter Biden dick pics, and Israel. And NPR, and it was kind of a funny little sleight of hand that he did rhetorically, but it was he wasn't wrong about just the absolute insane clampdown of information on Twitter and just everywhere regarding the whole situation with COVID and the lab. And now they're kind of coming out slowly, like, oh yeah, actually turns out, you know,
Jews are the ones doing that, though. Dude, this is all in service of Israel. They would not give a shit about any of this. They are pandering to a base of people. Like, dude, no, like, sure, like, people are mad that they couldn't say, I don't like vaccines or something, whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't really have much fucking sympathy for that side of the debate, like, at all. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, on some level, I think if people are saying shit that's, like, detrimental to public health, they should be told to shut the fuck up. The only question is, like, the only reason I have hesitancy about that position is because, like, people might not actually know what's going on, right? Like, and like, the people in charge might actually not know what's going on. So you kind of have to just let people do it. But I'm not that, like, animated by that. Like, it just doesn't really do much for me. And then when I see these kikes like Yuri Berliner going out because he's mad about Israel, like, he was fine with all that. It's like a little bit late. If you were really mad about those things, why are you speaking up now? Because he's a fucking Jew Zionist. And the other thing is, though, what's her name? Catherine Marr. She's not going to be she's not anti-Zionist. In fact, as we discussed, I think on Monday's show, she was brought in to kick out an anti-Zionist white guy from another position at this place called Web Summit, who that guy, the
You were talking
about that guy has been rehired. The guy who said Israel is doing war, he's been rehired, but I'm sure he's been well chastised and knows not to ever say anything like that again. But she, and today, this is actually something I was going to get to after we talked about the Iran-Israel thing. Today, Christopher Rufo puts out an interview with Langer, was it Stephen Langer? Guy who founded, or guy who was, I think he was a founder of Wikipedia, who is now giving Rufo on City Journal, which is a Jewish, it's a Jewish organ of the Manhattan Institute, which is a Jewish think tank run by Paul Singer, talking about the terrible way that the left is, like, monopolizing information and how he's blown away. And that guy is even suggesting what I said and what people were made. Actually, no one reacted negatively to this. Everyone just kind of nodded along. So I'm going to make up. I'd be lying if I said people didn't disagree. But I was sort of iffy about myself saying that I believe that she was probably an intelligence operative. Chris Rufo and this Jew are now saying that.
Yeah. I got the quote right here. Yeah. In another clip, she says explicitly, Rufo is interviewing Sanger. In another clip, she says explicitly that she worked with governments to suppress quote unquote misinformation on Wikipedia. Sanger. Yes. Larry Sanger. How did she do that in the Wikipedia system? Because I don't understand it myself. We know that there is a lot of back channel communication, and I think it has to be the case that the Wikimedia Foundation now, probably governments, probably the CIA, have accounts that they control in which they actually exert their influence.
Let's pretend,
and that's
like
what I was talking about before.
Like, sorry, Larry Sanger didn't know that?
I had no idea. No, that's what I was getting at before as far as, like, the lack of accountability. That's what made me mad. It wasn't about the content of, like, yeah, obviously, if there's a deadly disease going around and there's a legitimate vaccine that's going to protect people, they need to take it. And
or if people are just saying, like, go out in the street, everything is fine, there's no disease, and there's a disease. It's like, bro, that's, like, you're going to get people fucking killed, dude, saying that shit.
The problem was the total just the people running the show were clowns, and that came out pretty quick. And rather than sort of it was fairly clear for people who were following the data by – like summer of whatever, within a couple months, it was pretty clear what, you know, the situation fortunately wasn't quite as apocalyptic as it had been made out to be initially. I was at the grocery store in February with, you know, goggles and a serious 3M respirator mask and fucking latex gloves. Cause I didn't want to get this shit. I was terrified. A lot of people were. And then there was that period where the whole thing switched. But no, there was the information control system was really scary that they put in place. That they've sort of started easing back on it a little bit, which precisely because they've lost control of the narrative. And so you have people like Uri Berliner going out there feeding, like, tiny little bites of, like, yes, it's true, we fucked up with Hunter Biden dick pics. You know, everybody should have seen Hunter Biden dick pics. We didn't want people to see Hunter Biden dick pics, and actually they should have seen Hunter Biden dick pics, you know, mea culpa. By the way, the NPR de facto editorial line on Gaza is that Israel is committing genocide, and that can't be allowed.
That's also not their editorial line at all.
Right.
But
that's how it's being presented by
Yeah, that's how you push the consensus in the direction you want. Like you
and you get buy-in from conservatards by saying, "Oh, actually, we were wrong about the vax, and we were wrong about Hunter Biden dick
pic." And so you can actually utilize them as like a retarded mob. The one thing I would say about this strategy, though, is that I honestly think Jews would have, and I hate to give them advice, but I think that Jews would have more success in like closed door meetings amongst themselves and like various like high level, highly placed libtards, like someone like Catherine Marr, and eschew those topics because they because to these people that stuff doesn't matter, and be like, listen, you really have to switch how you're presenting the Gaza thing on NPR. Like you have mm-hmm. to do this. And because you're not going to get, if you link, cause this is a mistake being made. If you link changing the position on Gaza with vax and like Hunter Biden dick pic stuff, the people that listen to NPR are going to just be like, okay, you're partisanizing it in a dumb way. It's actually a bad move. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand they're doing it because they want like their own retard mob, right? Like the left has theirs and the right has theirs too. And they want to like leverage like the conservative retard mob, but that's, I don't think it's a good play. And if I were one of them, I would be being like, let's like, no, like just grab Catherine Marr. She's an elitist. She's one of us. She's not anti-Israel. Get her in a room, talk to her, explain, and we'll come to some agreement with her about what the line at an NPR line is going to be. We don't need to include any of this schizo shit.
Oh man,
it's a weird way of putting pressure, but yeah.
Yesterday, I was making fun of Christopher Rufo because he was doing the whole like Catherine Miller woke this, and I'm like, look at this retard. Like, he seems to be unaware of the fact that Catherine Marr is just like a member of the State Department.
Yeah,
and the gray zone's been talking about her.
She's a priestess of the American religion, right, which is butt sex and Zionism.
Like, right, and I said to him.
But here's the funny thing, right? Because Grayson's been talking about it for 4 years. So mm-hmm. I mentioned this. I was making fun of Christopher Rufo, and lo and behold, 4 minutes ago, he posted the link to the Grayson piece and then started talking about how she's part of a government regime-changing network.
Well, like, yeah, but that's – hey, Chris – asshole, you're fucking up.
Did you read my comment, Chris? Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, we were talking about that literally on Monday when we were doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we did this on the show when we brought this topic up. I think it was Monday or Friday. Yeah, we brought this topic up. And yeah, and I'm sure the Gray Zone piece is good. Now, that Gray Zone piece, the problem is it's like Gray Zone themselves are anti-Israel. And also, like, Jews were congratulating. I mean, I should show Christopher Rufo images of Jews congratulating her for taking the job at Web Summit and replacing the goy that said, like, Israel is doing genocide, and that she was, like, very accommodating to them. So she seems like she's, like, she seems like she's good at, like, eschewing taking a hard position or even talking about that topic. But yeah, like, I definitely think she's some kind of intelligence operative. And it's also not surprising to me. You know, NPR changed their CEO in January. Like, she became CEO of NPR at the end of January. Like, at this point, Jews were already mad about how Gaza stuff was being presented in, like, the liberal-leaning media. And NPR's coverage is not very different than the New York Times, which, again, you have to understand that, you know,
I think the different, because I make a point of listening to NPR just to keep tabs on, you know, where they're at with stuff. Mm-hmm. It's true that the editorial line certainly isn't any different than the New York Times. What's different is the amount of coverage that they give to the actual suffering Palestinians. For example, and one thing, again, the BBC really, really sucks. Like, BBC just it's fucking terrible. However, they are not as terrible as the American media on Palestine. Yeah. And they do the BBC NewsHour, and the BBC NewsHour just, like, straight up has they have interviews with, you know, Palestinians who had their families killed and ask reasonably tough questions to the Israelis who are, you know, murdering Palestinians.
Yeah.
So and fundamentally, like, I think there is a disconnect in NPR on the issue of Palestine specifically that doesn't really exist for any other part. Like, there really is some kind of narrative runaway, in part because there's so many brown people now in the ideological left or whatever you want to call it, and on that side, you know, in the
I don't think that's what it is, dude. I think that's the opposite. I think the brown people is going to make it more Zionist. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, it's the white liberals that maintain that maintain on that line.
Ideological purity, yeah.
It is the white liberals that maintain that line in these institutions to the extent, like, and we, you know, we talk about, like, Jew, and again, people have to understand, like, yeah, Jews control everything, but in these institutions, they can't be, like, micromanaging every single thing, and NPR was this big white libtard thing. I really don't think that I think Jews want influx of brown people for this reason. They are not going to demand the rigorous type of content. They are not going to be upset or alienated by it. Like, if you, I read the New York Times, and I also read the New York Times, I'm very intellectual. I read the comment section too.
And you're high status.
Very high status. But what's interesting is I have detected in the New York Times comment section a split between what are obviously white liberals and Jews, with the Jews sounding more and more like anti-DEI conservatives. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see somebody that's injected, because you would never have seen content like that in a New York Times comment section a few years ago. When I see someone injecting themselves into the comment section with those kind of talking, like Chris Rufo kind of talking points.
Well, what's the difference between Chris Rufo and Barry Weiss? Like, you keep talking about the Barry Weissification of the American center. I think that's absolutely right. And that's exactly what you're seeing.
It's like Chris Kruko is just like, he's just like a scapegoat. Like, he's a buckway out front.
Yeah, probably about 20 IQ points, to be honest.
What, you think he's the one that's smarter? I don't think either of them is very smart, actually. That's the thing. I think they're both midwits. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that this is, again,
that was the thing, man. We were talking yesterday about James Lindsay and Christopher Rufo. Lindsay is smart, and he's lying on purpose. Christopher Rufo is probably just fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Christopher Rufo is getting used by these people.
Yeah.
Christopher Rufo, he either gets it or not. I don't know. You can never know, really. But, like, he's not reading
30-year-old Harvard dissertations, right? He's not
He's getting
the archive.
They're sending him this stuff. They're using him as the guy that, like, breaks the story, right? He's literally like a front guy for this stuff. And, you know, he is a fellow at Manhattan Institute, and he writes for Cine Journal. And here he's got this interview with Larry Sanger. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, Larry Sanger points to, and I'm just going to go ahead and assume without looking, Larry Sanger is a fucking Jew. There's really no reason to, but maybe not. I mean, Margaret Sanger wasn't Jewish, but I'm guessing Larry Sanger is a Jew. But in any case, he has an article. Larry Sanger does have an article from 2020 where he actually, because in 2020 apparently there was a policy change in Wikipedia that, and he wrote something against this, and I guess this sort of coincided with Catherine Marr being there, where they changed their mind, and this of course had to do with, like, Year of Our Floyd shit. They endorsed the idea of not doing false balance. In other words, because before they had a blanket neutrality policy, and particularly on controversial issues. But then in 2020, they started endorsing the idea. They, like, changed that policy. Well, here's what he just says. He says this: Wikipedia's MPOV is dead. The original policy, long since forgotten, Wikipedia no longer has an effective neutrality policy. There is a rewritten policy, but it endorses the utterly bankrupt canard that journalists should avoid what they call false balance. The notion that we should avoid false balance is directly contradictory to the original neutrality policy. As a result, even as journalists turn to opinion and activism, Wikipedia now touts controversial points of view on politics, religion, and science. Here are some examples from each of these subjects, which are easy to find. No hunting around. Many more could be given. And so then Larry Sanger's actually been doing this for a while.
He's also not Jewish. I found on his webpage, he has a whole entry, "I am not Jewish."
Okay, so I guess he's not Jewish. I guess he's
not. At one point he says, if you type the name Larry Sanger into Google, the search engine will helpfully suggest the following: Larry Sanger net worth, Larry Sanger Jewish, Larry Sanger Jew.
Because everyone wants to know if this guy's a Jew. That's funny. That's very funny. Wow.
Yeah.
And again, we just assumed it. Like, Wikipedia, you know.
What do you want me to do? Like, you found this giant thing that's, like, clearly some kind of intelligence operation to set you know, the tone of information for the whole world. Your last name is Sanger, like, and I'm supposed to not think you're Jewish?
Yeah. Is Jimmy Wales Jewish?
I don't know. That's a good
Jimmy, wasn't he like the founder or something, or like one of the?
Yeah, he was the co-partner. But I mean, Wales, you know.
Yeah, but you never know. He looks Jewish, but he's not. Unless I don't know.
Jimmy Wales is not Jewish.
Yeah, no.
Well, see, there's no clear evidence of confirmation. Oh, now that makes me suspicious because. Okay, there's. This is a great. The website JewOrNotJew.com. Website JewOrNotJew.com.
Okay, that's like a satirical website.
4 of 5. Yeah. No, but they actually do. I have used them before if I've had questions. Things that are ambiguous, they'll sometimes have more information than Wikipedia Early Life section, but they can't tell either if Jimmy Wales is Jewish.
Really? Well, they also like claiming. Like, the funny thing about that is the reason I won't trust it is they like to claim people that aren't as long as they like them because they're like libtards or something, right? Like, the Jews like to, they like claiming people who are not Jewish. And they do, like, an embarrassment over, like, particularly awful Jews. They do, like, look at, like, Alan Dershowitz and see what they say about him. They probably, like, unfortunately, yeah, he's going to want one of them.
Yeah. Gotta have this one.
Yeah. So he's talking about Barack Obama's scandals aren't mentioned enough. And I guess, like, fair enough, you know, like, that I could see. That's the funny thing. I guess, like, this is the problem. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. Where he's saying like Donald Trump's Wikipedia page is just all his scandals, and like that yet these people like cleanse the Barack Obama page of his scandals. So it's like, all right, yeah, no, that's probably true. I'm sure that that's true. But again, I think what Jews maybe are trying to do here is create, and they're going to fail in this because of how conservatives are. So what they have to do is, like, they can't meme this into existence. They need to change incentives and culture from the top, and then let their apparatuses generate, like, intelligent, cultured people with their new point of view, rather than try and get people, like, that are sort of already molded, you know, that have already been spawned into game, get them and, like, promote them as people with clout and status, right? You need to you see what I'm saying? Like, you can't. If you want the right to come out and have like a balance, like punch equal to their demographic weight, like culturally and mimetically in the greater sphere of things, like above liberals, you need to basically generate new from the institutions coming out, right? You can't use people that have already whose player characters have already been created and put on the map,
like by like the quote unquote liberal academia.
You need to change the academia. You need to change the outcomes coming out of Harvard and get new people and have those new people be the enforcers of this new like center right consensus, in which like we still do like exactly what the way conservatives do anti-racism, right? Exactly how conservatives do anti-racism, but have this big, huge carve-out for Jews in Israel and promote people based on that. But because the people that are already out there are morons, because the smart people already gravitated towards, like, pious liberalism because they wanted to be elites and high status and stuff. So these other people that do these views are, like, low status, so you're going to need to sort of change that before. You can't just make Christopher Rufo somebody, like, he's a moron and he'll never be respected. So, you know, you can't just turn him into, he can't just be, Christopher Rufo cannot just be on the same plane as like Catherine Marr. Like, that's just, you can't have that. Like, it's just, that's something you might want, but you can't have it. But, so yeah, this is the problem. And like Wikipedia editors, one of the things is that like, liberals have a good way. And I guess they learned this from Jews, or maybe they just have this, maybe this is something unto themselves, of presenting their opinions like this is just what it is. And conservatives always make it, it's always obvious that conservatives are doing something political and partisan when they inject their opinions. Maybe it's because they're just not the cultural default, so it's more obvious, right? You know, I don't know, it's very, it's hard, hard for me to.
Even if Barry Weiss becomes a kind of cultural default, though, it's still going to be retarded. Like, I don't know I don't think you could solve the status
quo. But liberalism is kind of retarded, though. It's also kind of retarded.
Yeah.
But it's not the thing is, it's not retarded on some issues. And a lot of the issues that it's not retarded on are the ones that conservatives actually object to. Like, not giving a shit about, like, Hunter Biden dick pics, like, isn't retarded. Like, it's just, like...
Right. Nor is wanting a functional healthcare system. Right, and yeah, that's down what I'm the saying. Laundry list yeah. Of, yeah. I don't know. I think the fundamental issue is that Israel is the monster that they claim National Socialist Germany was.
Yeah.
And like all of the things they accuse National yeah. Socialist, you know, falsely accuse Hitler of doing, that's just
yeah.
been Israeli policy since yeah. they are a racial supremacist, genocidal, maniac,
yeah.
terrorist state that constantly does just whatever they can to steal right. from and invade their neighbors who omnidirectionally. So,
well, I also say this. Another thing about Israel is like, I don't believe opposition to Israel comes from like some kind of Jewish pre-programming against fascism or something like that. Like in other words, there's a lot of talk going on amongst like rightoids and things like that, or even some that are like anti-Semitic or whatever, that and also those that are philo-Semitic, like conservatives will say this. They talk about how like the, you know, those that do understand that Jews are sort of in charge of culture, they'll say things like, well, Israel's getting bitten in the ass by, they're getting hoisted on their own petard. Like, Jews are getting hoisted on their own petard because they taught everyone to hate this kind of stuff. And now, you know, now like, they're doing it and no one likes it, so LOL on them. And I'm like, I think people have, like, a gut instinctual hatred of what Israel is doing. Like, I don't think you needed to be, like, ideologically trained in, like, to be, like, a dumb libtard to hate it, because we're not dumb libtards, and we hate it. So I think there's, like, an instinctually human response to what they're doing, that this is just bad. And obviously, yes, they did lie that this is what Hitler did, because they were tapping into things that are universally revolting to people that a regime could do, right? And just lying and saying the Nazis did it. So it's not, I don't think it's, like, liberal brainwashing that makes people against Israel, if you know what I mean.
No, it's basic human decency right. that makes yeah. people against yeah, exactly. Israel. Yeah. And so the because, but when liberalism, because yeah. with conservatism is very much
like, it's like politicized human indecency, basically. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And whereas libtardism is say whatever, like they, like conservatives understand themselves to be sociopathic, just narcissists, right?
Yeah.
Whereas libtards, at least the line is, we care about people. It is, so it just makes it, just right. causes just absolute
yeah.
unbearable cognitive dissonance in anyone right. with a shred of decency. When right. it comes when you see the disconnect between Israel.
Well, I think even conservatives, like, on some level, have, like, there are decent people who are conservatives. And when they see, and I know, and this is more a more private thing, like, people that I know and people I've spoken to in our thing that have conservative family members, they have some of them. Of course, they have the some that are like the, you always hear guys talking about they're bloviating conservative relatives, but others are like, no, I've got some relatives that are conservative and they don't like that shit either. They're like, what the hell are these people doing? So, you know, it's not, you know, it's a matter of like, are you like a GOP activist? If you're like a GOP activist, if you're like interested in the Republican Party, or you're like a MAGA-tard or something, then you're probably like a soulless monster.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So I kind of oppose, because there's an analysis. I think when you hear right wingers, I understand why people have that take. But I think that there's a bit of like, it's got like its own sociopathic tendency embedded within it, which is like, the pretense of like, I don't care. I'm sort of just watching all of this. I'm just watching this big game unfold for my own entertainment, like sips tea, right? Like that kind of thing. But, which is like I can't stand that shit. Like that is like, bro, you're just a powerless, like alienated, atomized person that's like coping with your own like inability to participate in the power process by pretending you're just, oh, I'm just laughing at all of this. You know, like, nah, I see things. I get angry. I get upset when I see things in the world that I don't like. I want to change them, even if my attempts to change them are not effective or impotent by your standards, and therefore stupid. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do them anyway. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. The entire like right wing position seems to be morally depraved or cowardly most of the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's something that, like, I've grappled with since sort of finding ourselves politically where we are is, like, man, some of these issues, my feelings on them, if I were to, like, confess them, everybody would call me, like, a bleeding heart libtard. And then I'm glad, though, that we've all sort of decided to stop worrying about that and stop having to, like, we're breaking the sort of bullshit, like, rightoid consensus that we all have to pretend to be, like, sociopaths that don't care about humanity and shit like that. Just because, again, it's like, oh, because because, again, it's buying into the meme. Like, if you're a racist, you must be, like, a genocidal maniac that's, like, indifferent to human suffering as long as they're not, like, white. And like, you know, and I'm like, I'm not actually like that, though. And so I don't buy into this meme. I'm not going to be that way. Like, you know, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody in the American scene that identifies as being right wing that actually, like, articulates a really strong moral position and then goes out trying to accomplish something related to that, like, in the world. I don't see that happening for the most part. For the most part, what I see them doing is whining about stuff that their enemies that are in control are doing and being massive hypocrites, like, all the time. Particularly even on cultural stuff, like, yeah, we're supposed to be, like, traditionalists and stuff and about the family. Like, no, none of you seem to even rise to that bar. Like, you've got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert running around. It's like, you people are fucking degenerate whores.
Well, that's because that's because they're, like, recruited from modeling websites. So they're just, like, girls gone wild in the Republican Party. Like, it's just, like, it's like spring break girls. Like, yeah.
Yeah, nobody in that scene is, like, actually a moral paragon. They're all bad.
Oh, MAGA is utterly depraved. The MAGA scene is utterly depraved.
It's degenerate.
Yeah. More so. Dude, honestly, like, more so than, like, liberals.
I mean, yeah.
Well, what's the joke? Like, every time you see, like, some awful, like, some terrible, like, libtard, you look at the family pic and it's, like, a lily white family with, like, three kids and, like, they're all wearing sweaters. And then you look at these conservatives, they got, like, mixed race family members, like, a tranny in the background. It's like,
the liberal family, they've been, like, the husband and wife have been married for, like, 25 years. Like, mm-hmm. It's far superior to, like, the trailer trash degeneracy I see on the right.
Well, I saw this thing, like, abortion was brought up because Jake Shields goes out and he tweets this picture of some nigger bitch rapping about how she's a whore and she takes the plan B, but it doesn't work. So she just goes an abortion and, like, it doesn't matter and, like, I don't care, like, I'll go out and whore again and stuff. And so he's reacting to this. He's like, when people ask me why I'm pro-choice, I send them this video. And it's like, all right, you know, and then somebody comes in and they're like, well, let's be honest, the people that get abortions are, like, minorities and white liberal women. So this is again, it goes to the idea of the amoral, like, phony Nietzschean, like, right winger. He's like, the people that get the abortions are, like, minorities and white liberal women. So, like, let's let our enemies breed themselves out. And I was like, you know, white liberal women don't get abortions. Like, you're just wrong about that. Yeah, leaving aside your position here. Like, they don't get them. They advocate for it politically for various reasons, but they don't get them. And when you see white women, now there is some stats about white women getting abortions. It's underrepresented relative to blacks. However, I'm like, just because the woman getting the abortion is white doesn't mean that baby is white. And in fact, I suspect that's a big reason why white women get it.
Well, I mean, because the meme of the toll paid booth, right? And the girl on Tinder with, you know, like, before and after pics with that's a well-known phenomenon. But for every one of those that you see that actually does have the mulatto baby,
how many of them dipped into the abortion clinic to get rid of it and knowing, or even, like, had an episode where they got pregnant and then their nigger boyfriend beat them up, or he just left and then just aborted it and doesn't want to have it. And they secretly know what's the problems of will arise from that. Like, if you're toting that little fucking, you know, little tar baby around the rest of your life, you're never going to have another relationship and it's going to be hell. You know, you basically have a life of hell if you consign yourself to that. So, yeah.
White people don't, like, this idea that we, there, I mean, the liberals aren't wrong, or whoever you want to call them. There are more white people alive today than at any point in history, just as a raw number. Now, the percentages of global population is going down. That comes with various problems. But in terms of, like, it's not like if we have fewer than, I don't know, a billion white people or something, that white people are in some kind of mortal peril. No, this war isn't going to be won with birth rates, war metaphorically.
It's a political thing.
Yes. Yeah. You have to.
This is the thing with Andrew Tate, because the thing is, now, again, I don't know if people saw, like, Andrew Tate, what he said, and I don't even really know what he said because I didn't look into it, because I generally don't want to dip my toes into whatever's going on with him. But I saw that everybody got angry at him, and from what I saw, all he did was say, like, white men need to have more children. Yeah. And I was like, a lot of people started getting angry and pushing back on him, and I sort of just stayed out of it because I just was like, well, if he said that, like, that doesn't really, even if I don't, like, totally agree that that's, like, politically what we need to do, like, it doesn't make me angry enough to go and start fights or attack him for that. Like, if saying white men need to have more children, like, there's nothing wrong. I don't have any issues with that, right? And even kind of doing it in a way that kind of, like, rubs your face in it a little bit, you know, like, oh, white men, LOL, like, you're getting, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm still not, like, there's other problems that need to be addressed, but a lot of people were really going hard at him and got really upset and got very mad, and this whole thing happened, and he and his brother, like, have actually cucked. They've actually, like,
yeah, they went on,
and they've come out and, like, apologized. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's very strange.
They went on some podcast. I can't be – I just don't
– I didn't look at it very much enough to see it, but it seemed like people were
very – went on somebody's show and was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was insufficiently deferential to white people as a non-white. I should have been more
– That's kind of funny.
Like that. I was like, okay, that's great. No, I mean, that's a positive development.
All right. Well, good. Yeah, well done then, I guess. Good job. But yeah, if maybe he said more things than that, I didn't even read it. So
he was saying, like, basically white men are cucked, and if you weren't so cucked, you'd be having more babies, was kind of the force of it. And he got it, and so people were pushing back on the white men are cucked part, and that's what he specifically essentially had to apologize for. And I'm glad that he did, because that was bullshit, and he shouldn't have said it, etc.
Okay, all right, I didn't see that.
But the specific part about white should be having more babies and it's bad that they aren't, like, as you said, that's a very, you know, nothing to criticize there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Now, I also think white people need to become more politically aware and involved and understand their own position and fight on their own behalf politically.
That was part of what he was saying. And that's, again, it's
that's
sort of
kind
like,
of
yeah,
where,
I'm
like,
not,
the cuck things come
wrong.
From. It's like, but it's also like, you can make the argument, like, the white people that reacted negatively to that aren't. But, like, overall, there is this problem, right? So, you know, I don't know. I think that the lack of white ability to understand ourselves as a group with an interest, even as we're being attacked, and conservatives are a part of it. Are probably, I would say,
what was that gay meme? There was trying to push, like, oh, I'm not white, I'm Germanic or Hellenic or Roman.
Well, that was actually being pushed by a brown person.
Fuck off. Yeah,
that was being pushed by a brown. People were saying that guy was brown. I'll find it. I'll find it. It's some fucking guy puts up, like, a map of Europe, and he divides it into, like, four quadrants, which is, like, Germanic, Slavic, Roman,
Slavic,
and Hellenic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, like.
Okay, this is great. So we're talking about, like, precise definitions for types of white people, because yesterday we invented a couple of broad categories. There is continental white and non-continental whites.
Where did you invent this?
Me and Boris were talking about it.
This is just dumb.
And so, though. Oh my god, what is this?
Like, this is just stupid. Now, this was also
Germanics,
promoted.
Romans, Hellenics, and Slavs.
Yeah, I'm not white. I'm Hellenic. I'm again. Actually, in this map, Serbia is. I had no idea.
You would literally be a
Serbian. Hellenic, now Germanic,
yeah,
sure, I'll go,
like,
with that. But, like,
yeah.
Hellenic? Really?
What?
Really? Serbia is right there, smack dab. Well, not smack dab, in the middle. Also, Turks,
like,
apparently are Hellenes.
Well, I mean, the actual, I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, I know the history. I like how Turkey here is like, grayed out a little bit more than Europe, but, like, less than
like
the middle.
Part of
the-
Right. Yeah, that's really funny. Like, a different shade of gray. It's not.
Yeah, I get that. Like, yes, I understand why you would say Turkey is Hellenic, but it's not white.
Oh, no. I just mean that the actual, like, the people who live on the the actual population of Asia Minor is Greek, and Turks are actually central. Like, they need to go back to Central Asia.
Really? How many? What's the balance there? I don't even really know. But
oh, now it's like, I mean, there's very few ethnic Greeks left in,
right, they were ethnic
in Anatolia. Yeah. They were cleansed, yeah. And but I'm just saying that is Greek clay, and
sure,
Turkish clay.
We're never going to get anywhere near that with fucking people like this, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, like. Yeah, no, I understand that, but it's also like I don't, you know, people that see that again though. Even that, I used to see people like leading with that, like on 4chan and stuff, and I'd be like, bro, like we are so far from that shit, from that kind of an idea.
It's also not working. I mean, that guy was just getting wrecked, and
was just getting slammed, and of course he's doing like Crisis King shit, like so that's what happens, right? So again, like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy that shit is causing Jews problems. And I actually believe, apparently people are telling me this dude was brown. I'm like, okay, I'm totally fine with white-brown alliance against Jews with certain parameters. Because I'll tell you what, like the brown countries that are the most anti-migrant are Iran and Palestine. The two brown countries that are actually fighting the hardest to keep brown people out of Europe, whether they know it or not. Iran and Palestine and Syria to some extent too. So yeah, I just find all this stuff to be, you know, just all this confusion of the way these things are presented. It's sort of funny, but yeah, I mean, it's also like this guy also said one other thing, which is sort of funny. He says, no one called themselves white until they went to Africa.
It's just, I'm like, retarded.
But hold on a second. But I'm like, leaving aside accuracy, so okay, fine. Like, I'm willing to just do a yes guy to that.
Oh, like, well, yes, it's true.
You know what else? We didn't call them niggers until we went to Africa either.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because you saw them, like, oh, there's niggers.
No, they used to call them swarthy Mediterranean types.
So you didn't call anyone nigger until you went to Africa. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because we saw you, we were like, oh, there's niggers, and there we are.
Right, right.
Like the old bit with Patrice on Opie and Anthony. The one funny Louis C.K. joke that ever existed. Was, you know where the word niggers come from? He's like, what? He's like, one day a white guy saw a nigger, and he's just, fucking nigger. Actually good. It was really good.
So are we, speaking of Israel, are we Palestine?
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that stuff.
Do you want to? Yeah, I mean, I don't
well, know. No, I do want to talk about it. Yeah,
kind of a nothing burger, so I don't even know how much there is to say about it, really. But yeah, I guess we should probably.
When they say like quadcopter drones, they literally mean those like civilian type drones with the four little propellers on them. That's so they shot air defense missiles at those.
Yeah, so like maybe to back up a little, because I mean, whatever. But yeah, so there was. There seemed to be a happening last night, and there were reports of explosions simultaneously in Iraq, Syria, and Iran. And there were reports also of the explosions specifically in Iran at a military. Well, it wasn't initially clear. It was a city that houses important elements of their. Historic city, beautiful architecture city that also has some nuclear facilities attached with military bases, including an airfield, a military airfield. Isfahan is the name of the city. That's right. And so initially there were reports of a missile strike and that there had been some kind of missile strike at or near the nuclear facility in Isfahan. You had some of the excitable Brosent types on Twitter, you know, five alarms. World War III is happening because they attacked a nuclear thing with blah, blah, blah. So it was a lot of confusion, a lot of it was not the thing to me was first I had questions as to how an Israeli missile would have gotten to this site.
Yeah.
This wasn't on the border.
Same with me. Same deep, with me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Way deep in central Iran. So this is like. Because the notification was that the Syrian explosion had been an early warning radar. So that tracked with if you take out an early warning radar, then that is clearly prelude to some kind of larger attack. Lewis thought that it was an F-35, which could theoretically have gotten probably pretty close. I mean, F-35s are not a, for all the problems with the platform, it's not a joke. And it, you know, has a lot of capabilities.
They also
and,
don't give a fuck. Jews don't give a shit about Syrian or Iraqi airspace. They'll fly in.
Yeah, they just violate it. They don't give a shit.
And, they're not going to worry. Yeah. America will worry about it. America won't care about Syrian airspace. They will care about Iraqi airspace for stupid political reasons. But Jews don't give a fuck about any of it.
We're still pretending that, yeah, we have. Yeah. Although that's also been kind of on the chopping block. And I think that may be one of the elements of the fallout from this episode is just continuing to – to squeeze that vise on the American presence in Iraq.
Yep. Yep.
But no, I was immediately suspicious. I was like, how? Okay, even with you get F-35s at the edge of range into like the border with Iran, kind of. But like, I still, how does the missile get?
Yeah, to even the site? Then, I just shooting.
It just didn't it, really. Yeah. It something wasn't. And then also Iranian channels, pro-Iranian channels on Twitter and Telegram were silent. They weren't saying anything. Whereas if there had been some kind of strike, you would have expected, as in the past,
yeah,
when there's been attacks, they've been, you know, on it from the get-go. They just weren't saying anything, but there were these reports of explosions. Suddenly, the United States media, state media, like ABC and a bunch of other, basically the whole American media apparatus jumps in with a report, confirming with a quote unquote U.S. official, like some kind of military official, saying that there had indeed been a missile strike on Iran. So that was when things really started going kind of crazy because, okay, it's one thing for there to be these sort of just generic reports or we don't know what's going on. But when essentially official American state media goes out there and says there's been an attack,
Some of our guys that were confused by this because they had stuff like – they had like target maps up with like seven cities.
Yeah, seven different – Douglas McGregor on Twitter.
And it's
some journalist who put it out there, and I don't know where she got it or who provided it for her or what, but she ended up deleting that tweet.
Yeah,
and,
it was an Israeli before, too, and American media
I didn't
went
see that, yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
at least the Iranians, were saying it was an Israeli. I don't know. But yeah, I think it was.
It doesn't matter. The point is that it was being repeated uncritically. Yes, and I that actually raised my eyebrow too because I saw McGregor is kind of a rightoid. He's not, you know, we got issues with the colonel, but he's been pretty
rightoid. But he just goes overboard with shit. He's just, you know, he's way too far.
Well, he seems
stuff,
to be. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, yeah, whatever it is. Anyway, he put up that graphic with the seven strikes. I was like, I haven't heard. I'm keeping pretty close tabs on. On primary source
there
material on Telegram,
seven strikes,
there was no seven. Never happened. So, like, okay, so what is? There's clearly some kind of, I don't know, psyop or what exactly? Something.
Well, did you see this real quick? Did you see this? So this is from the Iranians bullshit.
Yeah.
So Jerusalem Post put up a tweet: an Israeli missile strike targeted a site in Iran on Friday morning. Two Israel defense officials confirmed. A U.S. official also confirmed the attack, saying we were not surprised, while also saying Israel informed us in advance of the strike. And that picture is from a strike on Gaza, because they have here a headline from a couple years ago about an airstrike on Gaza.
It's incredibly sloppy. It's
now, people are saying, like, oh, but now there's literally, like, here's the thing. There's, like, fake OSINT people responding to press TV showing, like, saying, like, those are not the same picture because the smoke plumes are different. Like, nigger, it probably is the same strike. Not only that, though, it's the same place. It doesn't matter if first of all, it is the same strike, okay? Just a different, like, split second later. But secondly, like, that minaret is not in Iran. That's in Gaza. So, yeah. Or it's probably not anymore. But, like, you know, my point is, like, dude, like, the picture, like, OSINT niggas, like, going way too far with their fucking Bellingcat shit. Like, bro, like, that's the same location. You're putting up a picture of a location
that
is Gaza,
what's
not
noteworthy
Iran.
About that is that's not some brosint guy, because I've seen that a bunch of, like, the brosint niggas being BTFO'd when they just, it's just, you know, Google reverse image search, oh, this is from 2 years ago. Yeah. That's the Jerusalem Post.
Yeah.
That is not some, like, anime avatar. That is, you know, Israeli state media. And that was what was confusing was clearly both American and Israeli state media. What's unclear is why. Whether it was a deliberate, like, my theory, it became pretty clear fairly early on that there was, that it wasn't whatever it wasn't some kind of massive act. There wasn't really any damage. It was, you know, we didn't know what was happening, but we knew it wasn't much. Meanwhile, the media ran with the story, and then someone's like, okay, why are you doing this? Was this a deliberate psyop where the Israelis wanted to not actually cause any damage or not cause that much, even in the upside case where they actually attained their objectives, but wanted to make a big deal out of it in the international press so they save face? Possible. Also possible is they just completely like lost their shit and nobody knew what the fuck was going on. And because later on, other U.S. officials had to go out and kind of correct the record and say, well, yeah, there was there was this earlier reporting of a missile strike, but we're now reporting that it was unmanned aircraft. There were unmanned aircraft.
It makes me wonder, too, about these so-called officials. And if these press agencies, these papers and these media outlets don't just make that up. Because,
sure.
I was even saying, like, you know, typically the U.S. media is much more, like, hawkish on pro-Israel and, like, warmongering than on some levels, like, the State Department is. I know this is a nuanced thing. It's like you got to track this over years and years to see that, like, the American government's going to take, even if they're totally backing Israel 100%, they're going to take, like, a more cautious approach to this, right? Whereas the media is just, like, constantly, like, just like shitting and farting all over the place. And so I'm kind of like, maybe a lot of, you know, again, we've always speculated so-called unnamed officials, like, are they just made up? Is this just what the news wants to say?
Or is this actually just some boyfriend of some Pentagon official. That was my favorite.
There you go. Yeah.
My favorite thing about this was the total silence, because we had the dominoes index of like, oh, shit is happening when the when there's the dominoes near the Pentagon has more call volume. But that was less predictive this time than the gay bar. The gay bar closest to the Pentagon, there was nobody there. It was peak hour.
I didn't know about this. This is my new way of judging whether shit's happening. Are the gay bars in D.C. empty?
Exactly.
If they are, means there are all these people are heads down in a different way than they would be heads down at the gay bar. Real,
like not even. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So was it an official or was it the twink boyfriend of an official?
Israel getting attacked? Well, the gay bars in D.C. are empty, so it must be true. Seems legit.
Hence the phrase gay ops.
Yeah, right. And literal. No, like it's like literal, actual.
Genetically.
Like, yeah. Like literal, like versatile anal sex ops. Like top and bottom ops. Like anyway.
So then it came out, there was this thing about like the quadcopters, right? This was,
I want to say one thing real quick though, as you go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Another reason Iran actually does not have a history of downplaying attacks against itself.
Right.
They don't have history of Baghdad shit. Like Arabs, I'll be honest with you. Arabs are full of shit. They bloviate. They lie all the time. These fucking Semites. There's something about it. Like, yeah, no, they bloviate and lie like all the time. They beat their chest. The Iranians don't do that.
Well, they also in this particular
get hit, they don't have an incentive to lie here. But when the Iranians get hit, they don't lie. They tell you, we just got hit hard. Like we just got like when they got the suicide bomb at Soleimani's tomb, when Soleimani got killed. The hit on the embassy in Damascus. They don't cover any of this stuff up. They don't try and lie. They don't really have the capability to do it, and they don't do it. So when they just believe what they say.
Ukraine obviously has all the incentive in the world to downplay just horrific, you know, 200 Mobiks gone in a strike, right? And same thing for Israel. They don't want anyone to know. They don't want the world to know. They don't want the Palestinians to know that they can bleed.
Yeah.
Iran, if for them, it's all upside. For Iran, it's like, okay, look at what the Zionist Satan did to us now, right?
That's true. But I mean, obviously, the Iranian part of the reason they have to respond though is because they were getting hit and they weren't doing anything.
Right. Yeah,
and
at
some point, like, you know, far from like Iranian people like in the streets demanding to like have like twerking feminism, like the Iranian people are in the streets like, yo, will you bomb these Jews already? What's going on? Yeah. Like there are Iranians probably in their internal culture that are like, yo, these Ayatollahs are fucking conservative cucks. Like, in fact, I know that those people exist.
Of course.
And they're in the Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah, the secular element in the military that's, very much, they think they're like, why doesn't Iran have nuclear weapons? Mainly because the Ayatollah has a religious problem with it.
Well,
right? Like,
did you see the report they're reconsidering that now?
Yes, they're like, theologically, we're gonna do some theological analysis on this question of
once Iran has a nuke, then it's done, like it's over, like they can't take them out. I mean, they already can't take Iran out.
That's the reality. Israel, part of what's going on is Israel understands that they actually do. Like, this was sort of part of why Israel. Because that's the thing, Israel's really in a bind here, and they have been talking this huge game for since the missile attack happened about, oh, we're going to get you, you know, hold me back, you Joe Brandon, like a drunk dude in a bar fight. And so they had to do something, if only to appease. They have their own internal stability problems with the lunatic red heifer faction, right? These people want blood. They want retribution. They don't understand that their position is actually.
These are really dumb people. It's important to understand. They legitimately think that, like, God has made them there to dominate the world. And when it doesn't, and since they've had this track record of military dominance, and they won't serve in the military, they have influence in the government. And because of, like, all this stuff that, like, the optics Jew, the labor Jew, the Zionist Jew, the secular Zionist, like, the person that flies back and forth with America, like, because of all the things that they've set up, this very intricate, delicate balance that they've set up, which gives them total regional dominance, or has until recently, because that's not working, and they don't get it. Like, if you're going, like, look, this country is not safe. Iran is powerful and can hit us and can hurt us badly. Like, we can't just... And they're like, Hashem made the world for us to rule it. And they're like,
So they just don't understand that their position is the weakest that it's been since 1947.
And they're mad.
Like,
and if somebody tells them that, they're just like, they're basically like religious nuts. They're like, you're an infidel or something. Like, you know, Hashem made the world for us to rule. What do you mean? Why aren't we killing these people yet? Same people get mad when Palestinians are playing volleyball on the beach. I mean, you saw this.
Oh, man, that was.
I already did a rant about this yesterday. It was highly infuriating. And, dude, they were even showing, all right, this one Jew I saw was showing a video of children, Gazan children, like in the water on the beach in Gaza from 2 days ago. And as if, like, and saying, like, oh, these are the people that are so poor and oppressed. I'm like, first of all, those are people living in tents who jumped into the ocean because it was 100 degrees in Gaza the other day. So they all, and because they're right there.
The camera to show what's happening, like, on the other side of the beach.
Yeah.
The fucking kite.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's fucking ridiculous.
Show me what it looks like. Show me road. Show me what used to be the buildings along the road along that beach.
Let me find it. Because, again, it's just outrageous. And it's what's really happening is, like, what's really happening is that they're actually fucking mad that these people aren't dead. Like, here we go. So here's the video that this guy was so angry about, right? So here's these Palestinian kids in the water, like, I don't need the Arabic music. So these are just poor children refugee camps that are in the ocean because it was 100 fucking degrees. It probably was like, you know, like, there's no reason to think that these are, like, rich people enjoying, like, a wonderful holiday. Like, they live, their whole little thing there is right on the shore. I mean, this Mark Zuckerberg is just like, I want all these people dead and I want that beachfront property. I mean, not Zuckerberg. What the other one? The guy that's Trump's nephew. What's his name again? Kushner. Kushner is, they look the same, the two of them. But, I mean, okay, they've got, like, mules in the water and shit. Riding, like,
they're just kids that they're having a good time. And
these are refugee kids whose houses have been blown up, swimming in the water because it is too hot to be sitting in a fucking tent. It's 100 degrees, so they go and jump in the water. Like, I'm sure that's just a normal thing in Gaza. And Jews are like, what are you talking about? It's like, bro, like, yeah. So, anyway, Yeah. So you go ahead with what you were saying.
Oh yeah. The quadcopters. So that was the thing. So Israel's in this position where the lunatics are demanding some kind of response, but Iran has made it very clear that any kind of response is going to be met with overwhelming force. They said 1-10 ratio on you hit us with a 1, we'll hit you back with a 10. Like, don't fuck with us. And while it is there is some amount of help that the United States and others can give, really the missile defense batteries in the American missile defense frigates that were participating are about 3/4 empty. Mm-hmm. So they can't defend even at the level of what they've already defended against before, and as Iran is promising they're going to do more if Israel did anything. So they're really just in an impossible situation, and that's why it's not clear who did it, but certainly the Iranian reports ended up checking. I was quite skeptical when the first reports came in, like, oh, those explosions, because a lot of people in Isfahan heard explosions. Mm-hmm. Eventually, like an hour after the fact, Iranian state media was out there saying, an official representative saying, actually, those explosions were totally normal, standard air defense. We picked up some drones heading into restricted airspace. There was a military base that seems it was the target with the they claimed they were going after Iranian F-14s, which we have seen in Ukraine. There have been several cases of Ukrainian operatives launching drones from about a mile or two outside a military airfield, getting the drones past the air defense net and blowing up planes. You absolutely can blow up aircraft sitting on a runway with those kind of quadcopter drones in that kind of an operation. That's a thing that Ukraine has done several. They've also been, it's not 100% thing, because you have to get the guy there and you have to get the drones in. It's more about, like, did we catch you napping, right? Well, the Iranians were not napping, did not get caught napping, and blew those drones out of the sky, which got reported as these explosions.
Yeah.
At which point, everybody turned and laughed at Israel. They're like,
well, the theory is that Israel didn't even launch these. That these would have been, if these were really those kind of drones, it was probably terrorist groups inside of Iran that did it.
Yeah, the MEK or somebody. What is this? The Marxists who?
Whatever MEK the fuck.
Do they like the Shah or do they not like the Shah?
They didn't like the Shah. And in fact, they participated in the revolution, but they turned against the Ayatollahs for stupid reasons. Yeah. So yeah.
Anyway, it could have been purely domestic or whatever, domestic but supported.
It's actually like quadcopter drones. I have a hard time seeing them flying all the way across the entire
Middle East. For sure they did not. No. For sure they did not fly. And Iranian state media also said there was no indication that this came from outside Iran.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. These are not super long range. I mean, it's not really feasible.
The theory is, and this is my theory, and other people have said this, that terrorist groups in Iran, and again, I don't usually ascribe to like weird theories that aren't confirmed, that are sort of like made up, but this is the best we've got. Terrorist groups in Iran, like Pentagon-sponsored, Mossad-sponsored, did this drone attack on the airbase. It was foiled, but as soon as explosions were heard in Iran, there were reporters, media people in both Israel and America ready to like go crazy with claims of this, right? Now, I don't know this weird – one thing that I don't know, and I'm wondering if now some kind of – again, we're total speculative territory here. Where does this map with the 7 cities being targeted come from?
Yeah.
That was on the table at some point, not on the table, that somebody knew about, the media was ready to go with it because that was what was expected to happen? Is this something that might still happen in the future? Is this a way to psych out the Iranians? Is this a way to get them freaking out? But the problem is, though, when you are a country like Iran under threat, like, you're just on notice all the time. So there's no, like...
And news organizations will
make shit
up. For example, when somebody's... yes. And they'll get their made-up stories ready ahead of time. When somebody's getting old, they'll have an obituary ready to go, right? Yeah. So, and it gets updated periodically if they stay alive.
But I have a hard time believing that an actual attack plan against Iran that Israel would launch, that they would entrust that to media organizations to sit on until the attack happens.
Well, there was some reporting that Israel had let diplomatic personnel in certain other countries know ahead of time that this was going to happen.
Like the twink boyfriend problem comes into play again.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's the problem.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's really hard to tell. My gut says that whether or not Israel, whatever direct involvement Israel had with the people on the ground who launched the drones, I think the Israeli strategic calculus was we need headlines in the international media saying that Israel retaliated, but we need those headlines not to come at a cost of even potentially risking an Iranian response. And this, whatever else, I mean, it makes Israel just look at, like, absolute fucking retards. I mean, this is like the,
what if it had, the, if they had succeeded and if they got a couple of those F-14s, this would have been like, huzzah.
Yeah, and I think that was the plan. They wanted it to succeed. It wasn't like there was some cope going around like, oh, they designed it in a way that, you know,
You want to hear the cope? I have it here. One second. I have this awful cope that this Jew came out with. It's very funny. This is in the the Jewish Chronicle. Israel's strike was the perfect response. Did you see this?
Yes, I saw it.
Sent a message to the regime that we can hit them anytime, but allowed us to focus on Gaza's by Yossi Kupferwasser.
That's exactly the kind of shit. So this is exactly they needed something to happen that would justify this article and articles like it to be written.
Yeah, this isn't even a very long article. It's just like four paragraphs. It says, the presumed Israeli attack on Iran was a message that was delivered very precisely in the exact strength that was necessary. It clarified to the Iranians that whereas we are not as vulnerable as they thought, they are they are more vulnerable than they thought. They have difficulty hitting us, but we have no difficulty hitting them. It's like, really? Press X.
Yeah, it's
on
just
that.
A total, you know, the fashion gains Jewish inversion. Yeah, this is, right?
Nobody knows exactly how the operation was carried out, but it seems that it was in a creative manner. It is good that a question mark hovers over the question. Wow, a question mark hovering over a question. What else would it hover over? Hover over the question of what exactly Israel did. Let's keep them wondering. It's good for deniability.
Don't ask too many questions. This is a W.
Yeah, no, like, look, I don't even really know what the fuck happened here. Let's just pretend. Yeah, it's good for deniability and good for keeping the enemy uncertain. Well, what, is your article good for deniability? Like, it's fucking retarded. This way it was executed was very professional. Well, how do you know? How do you know it was professional if there's a question about it? Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. There were the Zio people on Twitter were like, oh, Iran fucked around and they found out you got explosions and they got bombed and shit. I was like, there's no evidence of any.
Well, they did.
Anything having been hit.
They did find out. They found out that you suck. Yeah. Like, they found out that you're retards. Like,
the whole world found out that Israel.
You're weaker than we thought.
Exactly. Sorry, go on.
The thing I hate about that part of the conversation, though, is pretending that Israel didn't start it.
Yes.
I fucking hate, like, the short memories people have. Like,
short memories. They're fucking lying. Like, the Jews that go out and bloviate, they lie. And what they do is if you call them on the thing. I saw fucking Podhoretz out there. John Podhoretz was calling. Yeah. What's his the gay Jew? The one that's anti-war.
Greenwald.
Glenn Greenwald.
He was calling Greenwald like a liar for even talking about that, saying, you know, that wasn't an embassy. It's like,
oh, it was a terrorist headquarters.
Well,
right,
yeah,
right.
Because that's what they have.
Everything that I strike becomes
transmuted. By definition. Yeah. Because that's just like Israeli newspeak. Like everything is. Yeah. And that even became a meme. Dude, among every like leftists and even like libtards, this is the thing. This is why NPR's coverage is kind of the way it is, or has to be the way it is. Among like leftists and libtards, even in just like casual shit, the joke of like, I get to blow that up because Hamas is hiding behind it is just like a casual, they just make that gag. Like, I've seen normie basic bitch mainstream libtarded YouTubers making that joke in their videos on things that are totally unrelated to anything political. Yep.
I was trying to remember. I saw there was a John Podoritz tweet that really just – I was like, what the fuck? And I found it. It was Peter Beinart, who I believe is – I don't want to say –
he's Jewish.
But anyway, that's right. And he says
– there's no such question a critical about point. It, yeah.
The more horrified you were by October 7th, the greater your obligation to support Palestinian resistance to oppression that respects human dignity and international law. Again and again, the U.S. does the opposite. It thus makes violence against Israelis and Palestinians more likely. To which John Podoritz,
I can only imagine how lunatic he went on that.
Capo says what?
Okay. Mary, that's a very funny so admission there.
You're doing a literal Holocaust accomplice
But you're not supposed to be mad at the capos, the capos or the capos whatever they say. Like, well, okay. Now, the funny thing is it's like, capo? You mean Sonderkommando?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Which one, John? No, the Sonderkommandos were heroes, but the Sonderkommandos literally gassed millions of Jews. Well, they did it because like the one SS guy on duty told them to do it. Like those ten Sonderkommandos were ordered by the one SS officer to do it, and they just did it so they wouldn't be punished by him. They gassed a million people. Anyway, that's so funny. That's one of my favorite things to say to people about the Holocaust. Is like, you know, the funniest thing about the Holocaust? Jews tell you that they did it to themselves.
Yeah. And here's John Podoritz saying, like, yeah, you're doing a Holocaust when you just are when you support Palestine, you're literally as a Jew, you're doing your capo. You're doing another Holocaust on
it. Yeah. Well, you saw that wow, Alex is a weird pixelation there. That's fun. You saw that they did this UN shit, like the Security Council voted for a Palestinian state and the US vetoed it, of course.
And then they said, oh, this doesn't mean that we're opposed to Palestinian statehood. It's just, insert Jewish whatever the fuck here. Yeah,
no, but they are. I mean, the thing is, though, like, again, this is another thing where, like, right-wing Jews go out and, like just blow all this out of the water. Like, they can't keep their, like, no, they're, like, objectively just opposed to it. And they're also, the funny thing is the narrative of, like, a state. Like, the Hamas violence can't be rewarded with a state. I'm like, well, peace certainly isn't going to be rewarded with a state. Like, no, how do you think? Yes, when they Palestinians get their state, it's going to be because they killed enough Jews to get it. That's the truth.
Yeah, or forced enough Jews to leave.
Well, whatever, it will be violence that gets it for them.
Yeah,
basically,
of course.
And it doesn't have to just be from Palestine. It can be from, like, the Iran-Russia axis as well, right? Like, I did a whole rant on the fact of people wanting to pretend like I'm pro-Ukraine and pro-Palestine. I'm like, you literally can't be. Like, yeah, if Ukraine wins, it will be death to Palestine. Like, these things are related. Like, Ukraine tomorrow, like, wins. Russia's totally cucked. Well, that changes the balance of power such that the Jews no longer have to really restrain themselves. And they will fucking kill every Palestinian. So... You can't be. I don't care what your novelty take is. And then they do the thing like, well, if like my personal novelty, moral preference, suddenly the whole world was convinced to adopt this view tomorrow, then everything would work out exactly as I want. I'm like, well, that's always like, I can say the same thing. So that's meaningless. Like you're just existing in a, you're doing pure ideology, right? You're doing pure, like, I'm just fanning my own balls and I don't actually care about anything. So,
well, just pure luxury position.
It reminds me of when we went to DC years ago to protest the Trump airstrikes on Syria, and those anarchists showed up to counter protest, and we were getting in their face and we were making fun of them. Call them neocons and shit, and they got so fucking mad that they were legit, like, tried to come at. They were like, now that was when Spencer got hit with glitter, which was very funny actually, but they were like legit, like, trying to jump the fucking barricades to come at me and like the people I was with, and it was very funny. And then like later on, the news had an interview with that guy Mike Isaacson, who was the guy who used to troll TRS all the time. He's a weird gay Jew from New York City. And they were asking him, they're like, well, these guys are, legit, like the journalist asking the question, because I did an interview with a journalist and I laid out my position. He was sort of like, he didn't get it. He didn't know what it would be. He was kind of surprised by it. But then he went and he asked Mike Isaacson what his view was. And he said, now he didn't put me on TV. He put him on TV, but not me. But he said to him, like, you know, these guys have a fairly consistent position. They're against the war and they are supportive of the Bashar government. They don't care about whether that, like, and it's like, you say though, you're against the Assad government and you're against him. How does that work? What's the position then? And he was like, full communism now. And I'm like, that's just like,
yeah, it's just a way to not,
it's retarded. Just like, you just yeah. might as well, yeah. like, why don't you just might as well stay home and just like, you might as well stay home with a butt plug in your ass like you do every other weekend. Like, there's no point in you even leaving the house. Like, it's turgid, just, yeah, it's
Marxist nonsense. Literature yeah. all night, yeah.
Or just read gay porn, like, whatever. Like, you know, like, same thing, right? You know?
Go bodybuilding, yeah. yeah.
No, dude, this guy's anything. This guy's definitely not a bodybuilder. This guy was like a body unbuilder. he's like body minning. Like, he's literally like, this guy is literally like a twig. No, have you ever saw this? You ever see him? He's like, he's no. literally like a, probably like, probably weighs like a buck 20. This guy was like tiny. He's like, he's literally like a sack of bones. It's like a bunch of bones wrapped in a bed sheet. Like, that's this dude. Like, you could probably just like collapse him with one punch. Of course, I would never do such a thing, although I would be very tempted, but I would never dream of doing such a thing. Anyway.
I just think it would just be funny.
No, it would just be yucks. Like, just be funny stuff, yeah. Oh, wow, look at that guy just went down like a wet blanket. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. It does seem like whatever it is. I mean, look at the New York Times, because they're having to walk this back. I do think that this is basically right. They wanted to do some kind of guerrilla strike, blow up some jets on a runway and be like, ha ha ha, and that just failed. So got now it's you. Like, LOL. Yeah.
But it was a terrible, I mean, I guess if it had worked, they could have been like, see, we could get you whenever, wherever.
Well, I also want to say, those of us who said, I could see Iran if they do any response, Israel if they do any response, or Zog effectively doing, like, activating these groups. I said this publicly.
Right. Yes, that was a very great. That was what gave me the idea. I wouldn't necessarily have thought of it on my own, but when you kind of seeded that. So when these reports came in of explosions, but then it was like, a missile attack? I don't really. Oh, what if it was a sabotage group? Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because the thing is, the reason I said that is because that's a fairly deniable and cost-free thing for them to do, right?
Like, it's also again, just easier. Like, they don't have to navigate
through. Very low risk.
yeah.
Right. And Iran, then even though everyone kind of gets it, like what the alliances are there, like they'd have to, like if they get hit by like MEK in a terror attack and then they like bomb Israel, like they're kind of gonna have some explaining to do, right? Right. Even though everyone kind of gets it, it's still like, you prove definitively this was linked, and that's a difficult
thing. But in
this
case, it's even worse for Israel, because it's just laughing it off. Yeah, like, it just this didn't is what work. You got? Yeah. It's
just like, so they're saying the Israeli military, this is the New York Times, is saying that the Israeli military struck Iran early on Friday, according to two Israeli and three Iranian officials, in what appears to be Israel's first military response to Iran's attack last weekend, but one who scoped.
Well, I saw the scope initially. People saying, like, that can't be it. They're going to follow it up. I'm like, I don't know, man. Right. I don't think they got anything.
At least initially appeared to be limited. The Iranian official said a strike had hit a military. No, they didn't. They said it missed. A strike missed. missed near the city of Isfahan.
Air defense works.
So like, here you actually see the New York Times subtly twisting things, right? They said the target was this base. They did not say it hit. Because it didn't. Yeah. They showed pictures of it. Dude, I saw, like, afterwards, like, some Iranians were, like, showing pictures of the base. Like, yeah, no damage here. And then you saw, like, again, Brosent, like, the Zionist Brosent guys, like, oh, thanks for the data!
Yeah.
Like, as if they didn't already know. Like, as if we don't already have satellites observing that shit. Get out of here, man.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people, like, the people in the neighborhood of the base just, you know, taking pictures and showing there was really nothing going on.
Hello, like, the Brosing guys. Oh, thanks for, like, the geolocation data. Oh, we had no idea where that place was.
There's a military base here? Yeah.
Anyway, so let's see. The Iranian officials said a strike had hit a military airbase near the city of Isfahan, central Iran. Initial reaction in both Israel and Iran was muted, which analysts said was a sign that the rivals were seeking to lower the temperature of their conflict. World leaders, who for nearly a week have urged Israel and Iran, listen to the New York, listen to this very subtle Sometimes, you know, I still have to sometimes give the kikes that run this newspaper a little bit of credit for not being retards. Like, it's annoying because now I have to explain. Like, they're just like putting this. But
this is also the kind of thing that, like, even it makes me think that the purpose of the operation was to create headlines and stories. Like, this. It was purely an information operation.
So I love this because they can never, even these Jews who are probably on board with, like, don't escalate with Iran, right? They still will never present this as, like, Jews getting just cucked. And here they do. Like, Israel and Iran are being cool-headed, looking to de-escalate, trying to keep things under control. It's like, no, Israel is just being retarded to avoid sparking a broader war. Plan.
It failed. Iran laughed. And now they look like fucking retards on the world stage. End of story.
The Israeli military declined to comment on the strike. A senior U.S. official said Israel had notified the United States through multiple channels shortly before the attack. Which, again, if they did activate a terror cell, sure. All the officials spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly. The explosions came less than a week after Iran fired more than blah, 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 blah. Here's what else to know. Iranian officials told the New York Times that the attack had been carried out by small drones, possibly launched from inside Iran, and that radar systems had not detected unidentified aircraft entering Iranian air. Okay, so here now the truth comes out. So how then is that the Israeli military? Is the Israeli military, they have operatives on the ground in Iran?
We're everywhere. We're the Mossad. We're in your dreams. We're in your shadows.
They said that a separate group of small drones was shot down in the region of Tabriz. The shooting Tabriz, roughly 500 miles north of Isfahan. The use of drones would follow a well-established pattern in Israeli attacks on Iranian military targets. In public, Iranian officials sought to downplay the strike. Again, they don't tell you what was damaged. Notice. They're not telling you, okay, what happened when they...
They're not even claiming that there was... I mean, they're just
saying it hit a base, and there were explosions. Yeah. But they're not telling you what actually was the result of that, because there wasn't any. I'm sure fragments
from the drones fell on the ground. Like,
but they're not telling you that there was no damage, which there's visual evidence that nothing happened.
Lewis kept asking he's like, I want to see the drones. I'm like, yeah, I agree. That would be this sort of one little loose end here, I guess. It would be nice to see.
I mean, it does not appear that they did hit anything, though. Like, legit. No, clearly. I mean, there's no evidence that they did.
There's no evidence of any damage whatsoever.
Yeah. Maybe they left a mark on the outside of a building or something. I don't know. If so, the Iranians.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure maybe there was like some fragments that like fell in a yard. Yeah,
if they caused any damage at all, the damage caused, if it's so minimal that the Iranians can just easily cover it up, well, then it effectively doesn't matter, right? So
Iranian airspace was closed for several hours and then completely reopened.
Yeah.
And the main thing about that footage from the military base, isn't that its geolocation, is that there wasn't even a heightened alert. You know, there was nothing, there was nobody moving around. There seemed to have been some kind of emergency response at fairly earlier on in the night, but then it was just gone by the time any of this was really being reported. Yeah. No, the whole thing is just fucking dumb. It's just, again, what it shows you is that Israel is out of options. They are out of, they just don't have, it's a lose, whatever, all the branching paths are converging on a major strategic defeat.
So here's another New York Times little blurb from their trending live section. This is 2 hours ago by Farnaz Fasihi, which sounds like an Iranian name. So again, the New York Times has their libtard Iranian correspondent talking to Iranian officials. Says the few Iranian officials who have talked publicly about the attack have downplayed it, suggesting a bid to de-escalate. Okay, so now it's Iran who's getting cocked, right? You see, it's very clever the way that the New York Times does this. As a longtime hater of this fucking newspaper, I mean, I hate read this paper. I don't read it because I'm like a high status.
Oh yeah, I don't listen to NPR because
NPR because I cannot NPR take.
The NPR Ultra voice.
I cannot take NPR Ultra. It legitimately, it sets off like a hair. There's something in my brain. And it's like, because my family when growing up was brainwashed by this stuff. So I have like this irrational anger or hate response to it. Like I want to destroy things. It's very funny. Actually, I was out. You're going to make fun of me. At like an antique shop with Jamie.
I used to go to antique shops all the time.
Okay, well, secondhand store, antique, whatever.
I have three small boys, so I can't do that now. They would just destroy the antique shop, and then I would be bankrupt.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was actually used furniture. It wasn't really antique, so I'm lying. But they did have like they had used furniture along with like. It wasn't, you can't even really call it antique, like used, not like garage sale novelties that people have dumped, like old posters and like McDonald's cups and puzzles and shit like that, you know, just like crap. Anyway, thrift store stuff, right? And the guy that runs it is like gay, so I'm not doxing anybody by saying this. The guy that runs the thrift store is a faggot, surprise, surprise. Anyway, and another friend of ours was there, and the three of us were talking, and I was talking about like NPR Ultra Voice and how I hate it. He goes, "Oh, you like NPR?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "I'm gonna go look upstairs," because I just didn't even feel like
engaged. I didn't want to engage
this faggot in any kind of fucking banter. Yeah. So I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go upstairs." And I left our friend down to like, you know, like fend off the banter with the homosexual. Anyway. But she goes to the store all the time, though, so it's not my. But she's like, "Will you shut up? I have to come back here." And I was like, "All right." Anyway,
I gotta run for a bit. But you wanna call it for the hour?
We could take the break here. Oh God, we're an hour and 30 minutes. So yeah, we're gonna take a break, and we will be back in the next. We back. Yeah, where the hell is that? Where's the stinger? Do I have it? Yeah, we'll be back.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Doc Biz.